You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2:05pm with Gary Capewell, Mick Norton and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Carlisle and Southwell on Monday afternoon, Nottingham and Windsor in the evening. We've also got racing over in Ireland on Monday evening as well from Sligo. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Now we'll start with a quick look back at some of Saturday's highlights, then we're going to talk about some Royal Ascot news, and then finally we'll get Mick's selections for Monday. So starting with Saturday, Mick, one of the highlights was Twilight Sun's performance at York. He won the big charity sprint there. He remains unbeaten. He's a nice horse, isn't he?
He was. He travelled supremely well. You could see Fergus Sweeney was just going so well. It was just a question of when he would press the button, and his confidence is sky high at the moment. Apparently he was lucky to run at all. The trainer reported him a bit below par by his usual brilliant standards early in the week, but there was nothing wrong with him on the day. He looked a picture and he ran like it as well, and I think he's a group horse in waiting. This race usually throws up a group class performer. Sheikh Albedo went on to win group ones out of it in the recent years, and the second in last year, the year before, has gone on to group success. So yeah, it was a good performance. He did it really well, and he's an exciting sprinter.
He is. And there were two unexposed horses going into the race. There were himself and Scalzo, and just highlighted by Tom O'Ryan in the Racing Post, a funny old game that Scalzo was trained by Marty Mead. Fergus Sweeney was the regular partner because yes. Handam Al McToon had bought him. It was ridden by Paul Hannigan, and Sweeney got on the Twilight Sun, who won. So
yeah, apparently I thought he came out of the stalls awkwardly. It doesn't really say that. It just says he dwelt.
Yeah,
but he came out awkwardly, and I think he's banged a hind leg on the stores as he's come out, because he was reportedly later laying behind.
Yeah,
that
would explain it, wouldn't it?
That was my first impression. Yeah.
Another of the star performers on Saturday was Red Baron in the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup. He's been a changed character since he was gelded, hasn't he?
Absolutely, just unbelievable the way he keeps on doing it. I mean, just about every yard of the running, and not surprisingly, a very fast time, nearly a full second faster than average, and it was a tremendous performance. Chased all the way to the line by Fast Track, who's no mug himself, and a really good performance. And he's very good, Eric Olsen, once he gets these sprinters on a roll, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Anything else stand out to you on the Saturday, Mick?
Well, I was working at York, so all we did, we covered that the Red Baron race, and we also covered the race at Sandown that Wardy won, and I thought he won it really well, Wardy. He's 3 from 3 over course and distance at Sandown. He's definitely a group sprinter in waiting, isn't he? The way he just quickened up and left them for dead in the closing stages, and in the style of a very fast improving horse. I think the hood might have been the key to him, but he's certainly going the right way now, isn't he? Won 4 of his 6 starts. You wouldn't know where he might end up.
Very much so. He's definitely on the up, and we'll leave that there. We'll move on to some of the news for Royal Ascot, because we're only a day away from Royal Ascot. Mick, you looking forward to it?
Very much so, Mark. I don't know what's happened to... They don't seem to have Royal Ascot previews, do they, like Cheltenham? I mean, we get Cheltenham previews coming out of our ears, don't we? But nobody seems to do a Royal Ascot preview. I don't know what the reason for that is.
Well, as luck would have it, Mick, we have.
Good.
If you go to the William Hill website, it's called Royal Ascot 2015 Preview. It's myself and Andy Holding looking ahead to the big races on each of the 5 days.
Well, I'm off tomorrow.
You're in the studio tomorrow.
I'm here tomorrow. Yeah. I'm off on Tuesday, so I'll log on to that and have a look on Tuesday morning before I start to have my bets.
Yeah, bit of news as well ahead of it. Stravagante is one of three to be supplemented for the King Edward the VII Stakes. Oman River and Mr. Singh, another two, are the other two that have been supplemented for the race. And it's not a real surprise. Stravagante was very impressive at Epsom.
Well, Sir Michael's won this six times in the past, and I was working on the day, and I think we said that a group horse masquerading as a handicapper, so that will get put to the test in the King Edward the VII. But Sir Michael knows what is required to win that, and I think that's a good move to supplement him for the King Edward.
Yeah, one of his horses that won't be going to Royal Ascot though is one that won at the meeting last year, Arab Spring.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it? He's still got quite well represented, isn't he? But I think Arab Spring might have been one of their stars, Telescope he's got, and Hill Star, and also the Yorkshire Cup winner Snow Sky, we should not underestimate. I think that was a very good performance in the Yorkshire Cup.
Yeah. Anything else you're looking forward to next week, Mick?
I'm looking forward to the Coventry, to see how the two-year-old's form stands up. I've seen quite a few of the contenders here and there, and I've got my own ideas of where the best form lines lie. So they'll get put to the test on Tuesday, won't they?
Are you going to give us a clue? Are you going to
I don't
keep it up to yourself?
I think because it might sound a bit dafty. But there's a horse who ran at York. I know the form hasn't really worked out well yet, but he finished third, fell out of the stalls. Frankie rode him. He fell out of the stalls. I thought, well, he's going to fall out the back of the telly, because then he started to pull like stink. And then all of a sudden he came looming up there on the outside to throw down a challenge and ended up finishing a close third. It was a horse called Sir Roger Moore. And Frankie doesn't ride him because he rides Eltersound. But he's going to be a big prize, and I think he might well outrun his prize.
So, 33-1.
Yeah, well, I'll be having a bit each way on him.
All right, good stuff. Well, let's leave that there. Let's move on to Monday's action. Mick's got four races for us, and we'll get his best bets on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Monday's action. Four races, as we mentioned. Yeah. Mick's going to go through them. We start at Carlisle in there, 3:45. This is a Class 4 Fillies handicap over the extended 6 furlongs. It's almost 7 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds, Mick. We've got a field of 12 here. Who are you siding with?
I've got a stonker for you here, Mark.
Right.
She's called Bright Flash. She's trained by David Brown. Hector Crouch, Gary Moore's good apprentice, has been booked to ride. They think a lot about this boy, you know. And he can take off the full 7. She was easy to back and never in contention when finishing a close 4th at Doncaster earlier this month. That was, for me, a really eye-catching reappearance. The handicap has left alone off 77. It was her handicap debut. And she won her maiden over course and distance last back end. She didn't have to improve on anything to win it. She was odds on. And so she's got the all-important course experience. But the one race that makes her, for me, a standout is she finished fourth in the Convivial Maiden at York, which is one of the good maidens of the year. The winner is now rated 104. The second, now rated 104. The third is rated in the 80s. She was the first filly home of the first 7. All the other 6 were colts. And she's going to race here off 77 with Crouch taking off £7. So I think that gives her a solid chance, don't you, Mark?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and she's got course and distance experience as well.
Yeah, which is obviously important at Carlisle, isn't it? Stiff finish there. And
yeah. Others to consider, a couple of informed fillies up against it, which will help make the market. Three Graces, Graham Lee Rowley for Phil McBride. She went up 3 for that good second of 13 at Leicester last time behind Exilly, and that does demand more. But her mark has risen from 63 to 76 in the last 2 months, so she's not to be underestimated. And Al Heller couldn't do any more than win Filly's maiden at Redcar, but it did look a weak-looking maiden. She bossed it from the front. She won't be bossing these as easily. And that mark of 74, no wonder they've gone for Sheehan Grey to take off off £3. So all said and done, Bright Flash just has to keep breathing, Mark.
Confident selection for Mick then in the 3.45. The 6.40 at Nottingham is where we go next. This is a class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. It's runs for the 3-year-olds, and not many of them turn up in better form than just us two, Mick.
I know, and again, like Bright Flash, it looks a one horse race to me. She's also a former course and distance winner. She won on her final start at 2, which, just like Bright Flash. And she showed improved form, actually, on her season reappearance. And she did progress each start at 2. And she looks to me as though she's improved again. When she was well-backed as well to make a winning reappearance. And Robert Cowell does really well with these good improving sprinters. And she's only £5 higher than Windsor. And I think she's the one to beat. Dangers, snow, clouds, forget the Chester run. Finished last to 7 at Chester, but did win at Redcar in May, but looks a bit too close in the handicap to just as 2. Uptight, better than the seasonal reappearance at Thirsk, but it was 2 months ago. Where's she been since then? But she did win 2 as a juvenile, so she's not to be discounted. And she's also a course and distance winner here at Nottingham. And Anthony Britton, Mel's son, who's taken over the licence from the late Mel, won at Brighton 6 weeks ago. Has gone up 6, but did look an improved performer. Left his 2-year-old form behind. These Monsieur Bonds that do go on improving once they get their head in front. And I think Stanghow might prove the biggest danger to Justice 2, but again, I can't see that one getting beaten either.
Yeah, just looking through the form of Just Us Two as well. The win at Windsor last time, franked by Francisco, the runner-up subsequently. So
it's already working out, yeah, isn't it? And, you know, he only went up 5 for that. So he probably, if he'd had that form boosted before he reassessed, could have even been much higher. Mm.
Just Us Two then for Mick in the 6.40. We move to Windsor for the final two races. The 7.20... is a class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older. Mm. Field of 9 here, Mick. Who do you side with in there?
Yeah, I like Tamayu's star here. George Margison could have been in better form, but it was an excellent reappearance, finishing 2nd of 7, only half a length behind Major Crispy's over this course and distance. And when you think it's not that long ago, this horse was rated 101. And I know this might sound like a killer start, since the best part of 2 years since he got his head in front, but it's no wonder when the marks he's been lumbered with, and now he's finally got back to something like and a fresh start off a new season in the low 80s, and the handicapper thankfully left him alone for that close run thing at Windsor last time, and this is a perfect opportunity for him to get back to winning ways. Really good horse over the years, but just nailed to the floor by the handicapper. Chilworth Icon, ditto, really. He's been fighting a losing battle with the handicapper most of his life. They put the boy on Pilly to take off 7, and he's £2 lower than when he won at Sandown last summer, and back to form the last twice with good efforts at Ripon and Chester. So he's going to be a danger with Patrick Pilly taking his mark down even further. Wanda, just keep an eye on. I know he's getting to the veteran stage now, but Secret Witness, Ron Harris trains. He's gone 3 years since his last win. He used to turn up at York week in, week out, and run blinders, win, or just get beaten there off much higher marks than this. And the handicap have finally given him a chance. And I think there's been glimmers in his 3 starts, especially at Doncaster and Goodwood, that suggest the old boy's still got another one in him. And you know, he could well reward each way support to Secret Witness, but I'm fully expecting Tamayu's star to take advantage of the opposition here.
The 7.50 at Windsor is a class 4 handicap over a mile. It's for 4-year-olds and older. 8 of them go to post here, Mick. Which ones are on the shortlist?
I'm going with Lady Marl here. She's back at a track she likes. She does know how to win. and this is her proper trip. She didn't probably stay that rare, modest run at Brighton the last time. That was over 10 furlongs, and this is her trip. And back at a track she likes with George Baker on board. And the opposition, not many of them are coming into it in anything like decent form. And I'm going to forgive her last run. And she'd won two of her previous three before that, Lady Marl. And I think there are more races to be won with her. Hannington blew it at the start at Bath the other day, understandably making a quick reappearance because he was allowed to just come home in his own time. And looked an improved horse when he won at Lingfield on his seasonal reappearance. But he won't be able to afford to get into the habit of blowing the start like that. Double Check, Mark into the 70s, been pretty consistent. Was third last time off 71, but got close enough to give an indicator that that mark of 71 may not be beyond him. And I think he rates the biggest danger to Lady Marl. We must mention as well Monsieur Chevalier, who is a former course winner, and he's off a career low mark here, and he wants watching if the money comes for him. But Lady Marl for me.
Let's just have a quick summary, Mick, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Right, in time order, Mark, the 3:45 in Carlisle. This looks like a perfect opportunity for Bright Flash to get back to winning ways, especially to track she's already a course and distance winner at. And ditto, the 6:40 at Nottingham, just does two. Very eye-catching reappearance at Windsor 3 weeks ago, only £5 higher, and looked a much improved performer. He never stopped improving at two, and he improved again his first start at three. So if he improves again, the £5 ain't going to stop him. In the 7:20 at Windsor, this looks a good opportunity for Tamayu Star to get back to winning ways. Finally given a chance by the handicapper, and a good, solid reappearance to boot. And Lady Marl, forgive her run at, in the 7:50, forgive her run at Brighton. It was too far for her. Back to a track she likes against opposition she'll also like.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy on Monday.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Monday's racing. He'll be in the studio and he'll be joined by Gary Capewell and Ollie Pimlott. We go live from 2:05 p.m. for the meetings at Carlisle and Southwell in the afternoon, Nottingham and Windsor in the evening, and there's also racing from Ireland in Sligo. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.